eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Four winners in four rounds of both classes.
Such a weird feeling not getting a main event win, but still winning the overall. But man, I'll take it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael. Got my co-host Ryan Villopoto there. Man, before we get going, like always, thanks to our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, Boxo USA, and of course, Dunlop Tires. They are a new partner. We're glad to have you guys on board. And RV's just getting right into it. First of all, to all our viewers and listeners, sorry we couldn't record yesterday. RV was doing a photo shoot or video shoot. He was gone all day, and I had some health checkups yesterday. So sorry we couldn't do our normal recording, but we're going to come to you today with a great episode, a lot of meat on the bone to talk about, a lot of drama on the Triple Crown. Before we get into Anaheim 2, RV, why don't you tell everybody your thoughts on the live show that we had Thursday, bud?
Man, the Title 24, our very first live show. I think that every one of us knocked it out of the park, especially Rich Lane, that put the whole thing on, did all the organizing and got everything there. I think it's going to be something that we're going to try to do, I think, three times a year.
Right.
Man, it was... Yep. It was a lot of fun. We got the fans really involved in the questions and back and forth, and I had a great time. We had some legends there also with Fro and Damon Bradshaw, and we had the Baja 1000, one of the Baja 1000 winners, and a Dakar racer also. So, man, it was a lot of fun. It was a good time, and I'd like to do some more.
Yeah, I definitely. We're definitely going to do some more. So we'll keep everyone posted. Probably going to try to do them. RV and I and the rest of the team with Rich and JH. We're all talking about doing it in certain regions. So whichever makes sense. Number one for the fans and then RV and I's schedule, of course. And it was. I agree with you, brother. It was so much fun. It was great to see the fan reaction. Rich did a great job putting it on. All of our partners and everyone who kicked in for the event, we appreciate. We appreciate you guys and the opportunity that you guys gave us. It seemed like the fans had a great time. Some of the VIPs, of course, they had a great time, and it was great. We appreciate Emig and Bradshaw coming on, like you said, RV. It was just fun telling stories, kind of rehashing what we had already rehashed or whatever we already had talked about on Title 24 as far as the San Diego pod goes. So, we're going to do it again as soon as we get some dates and info. Dude, we'll be passing it along. So Triple Crown, do you like Triple Crown or do you not like Triple Crown?
I mean, man, it's a chaotic night. Three gate drops, being that the races are shorter too, the guys are all out full sprint. You know, you add that extra 5 minutes to the 250, you add the extra to the 450, you know, you kind of can find yourself, you know, getting into a flow where when you have these shorter races like that and three of them, it's an all out brawl till the checker is pulled, you know, like, especially that I was watching one of the 450 races, and Dude, like you had the first through, I think, third roughly, kind of little gaps, but then from like fifth through ninth or 10th was a battle, you know, like, I mean, you had all factory guys back there battling for position. I think the track actually raced really well. We had some tight turns, technical. I mean, we're going to get into that, you know, Jet's mistake in the whoops. I heard you call that out on the broadcast. Technical spots on the track that if you didn't pay attention to what was happening, they could bite you. And you wouldn't see it coming.
Yeah, for sure. And another observation that I noticed about the track, I'm glad you said something, RV, is the base looks super hard. Like even like going back to press day on Friday, they didn't water it that much. It was really loose and gravelly and just, the quality of the dirt, unfortunately, had gone away. And with all the elements that California has seen, I believe certainly wasn't a help. Dude, it was super windy, dry on Friday and Saturday. Like I was down watching Q1 and dude, the wind was absolutely howling. I mean, the Dirt Works track crew did a great job with the best they could, but for sure that made it challenging. The whoops were gnarly, right?
It did, you know, it was like the left side of the track, like where mechanics area to I guess it would be third base corner.
Right.
You know, that was really hard packed slippery, but then you had where you come in the tunnel, which would be, I guess, first base. At Anaheim, that rhythm section there after the second set of whoops, or first set of whoops, you'd have really ruddy, kind of soft, it got broke down, and then you'd go to the other side of the stadium, kind of where the sun, because, you know, as every one of these stadiums, as the sun goes over the top and as it moves, it dries things out. Some parts of the track only get sun for say 30 minutes and almost need it. And the other part might have sun for 3 hours. So that's where you're trying to chase that part of the track with water, and you're trying to, you know, groom this side because it's still soft. So they did a great job, phenomenal job getting that track for the main events. I mean, really, really good.
Yeah, I love the Triple Crown. I know that extra start, they got one extra start, and it's, you know, the time that they're on the track is a little bit longer. But, I mean, from a broadcast standpoint and a fan standpoint, I think that the Triple Crown format is great. So I don't think they need to do it any more than what they're already doing, but nevertheless, it's fun, dude. Fourth race of the season, four different winners. And you mentioned it too. Like I was looking back a couple times, there were so many good battles and good guys from that fourth to seventh place, like position. Dude, it was insane, bro. It was insane.
It was closed racing. And I think that's one thing that the track was I'd say relatively easy. There was some technical spots on the track, but relatively easy. So it kept the guys pretty close. You know, so there wasn't really a lot of big separators other than that one rhythm section that Jason was able to go three out of the turn after mechanics area for everybody that's wondering what rhythm section they were.
I liked that.
Yeah. Three, and then I think four single, you know, and then Eli latched onto that for Moto 3, was able to get his win there, you know? So, quicker entrance of the rhythm section, which was great because it got you up next to your competitor and then you had control of the inside. But it was a little bit slower when you had to roll into the turn, you know, so it was a give and take, but you want to get up next to your competitor on the inside so you can run them wide.
Right. Cooper Webb comes through, gets the overall, doesn't even win a race. He just doing what he does. He got great starts and I wouldn't say rolled around there, but stayed competitive, took advantage some other guys' misfortune. You can see him right there. So we're watching a replay. He's on the podium. He's coughing. I had an opportunity to talk to him. We were on the same flight back and he'd been sick pretty much the whole time that he had been in California. I'm going to give him a hard time though on the pod today, RV. It's like, that's sorry, dog. So it's so frustrating from a broadcast standpoint when we don't know, like if a dude's sick or what they have. And I've talked about this. We've all talked about this. I understand that they don't want to reveal of an injury to give their competitor advantage. But if he isn't hitting the marks and I dog him out or call the race like I see it, and I have no background information of what he's going through, then I'm going to come off like the bad guy, right? Because he's going to say, dude, I've been sick. So I'm like, well, if you would have told me, I could have built you up as a hero. Like, hey, look at this guy. He's riding he's riding great for as sick as he is, you know? So anyhow, if that's the case, he's been sick. I mean, obviously you could visually see it and listen to him. That was a heck of a ride. Jay Starrett, says, with Cooper Webb's early success, do you think he is peaking too early? He's normally a second half guy. What do you think about what's your thought and analysis on that? You think he's peaking too early?
No, I honestly don't think he's peaking too early. I think Coop he's in a phenomenal spot right now. He's been riding really strong right there. Got a great jump off the line. Was able to shut those guys off early, come around the inside, and control into that into the second turn into the whoop section. But I personally think, you know, we're heading east. I don't want to say that Coop those tracks East Coast that he prefers, because as a top racer in his position, you need to be able to race every single weekend, every single condition to the best of your ability. But I do think heading east, he made a comment. I think it was in the presser of, you know, mm-hmm. tighter tracks, a little bit different dirt conditions, softer, that may play into his favor more. We're leaving the West Coast swing. Like you had said, he was a bit sick under the weather. And, you know, he'll be coming out of that going east, where I think he prefers. And, you know, he's going to be in this for the long haul. I think he's good. And it's also, especially right now, we haven't seen, you know, we've seen some inconsistencies so far from Jet, right? Like he's riding very well. He's riding fast. Yep. He's still the Jet Lawrence we all know, but this isn't the 250 class, right? This is the 450 class. Everybody scraps for every inch on the track. And I think that's what we see the difference in. And Coop's a veteran in this. He's been in this position before. So right. I say he's sitting very, really good.
Yeah, it definitely, for sure. Like going, touching about Coop versus Jet, like, you know, Jet racing the 450 doesn't have a lot of experience in a proper supercross track. SMX4 track designs are completely different, so it's different. And then, like what Jet is facing right now, where he's kind of like stuck in a hornet's nest, his starts aren't that great, it's hard to, you know, everything's just happening so fast. And then you take a guy like Cooper, who has already went through this process. That's where I feel like, to your point, RV, is where it's going to help Cooper. And I think he's going to be good along the rest of the season. I do think as the tracks get rougher and get tighter, he is better in those positions. And the reason that I say that, if you guys watch Coop, he's really, really good and rides well when the track gets, when the corners get tighter, there's multiple ruts, he stays lower, he's not riding on that edge, he's 10 times more efficient with less effort. And to exactly what you're saying, RV, that's where, you know, that's where I think he really shines in those conditions.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Yeah. Who do you think, out of the weekend, who impressed you the most in the 450 class?
I'm going to go out and say I got two guys, right? Anderson getting back up on top of the box in our middle race, in the second race. Yeah. You know, rode phenomenal. I mean, literally rode away from those guys. Yeah. His motorcycle looked like it was working super good on this track, on these conditions. It looked very compliant. And he all out had the speed. So that was good to see Jason back up in the mix, get him on top of the podium, because it's been a while for him. And AP, I have to bring up AP, you know, leaving Anaheim 2 here. We're heading to Detroit. He's still got the red plate. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think he had said that in the press conference when he was up there. Like, you know, it's great to leave San Diego with the red plate, but then, you know, to hold it through another weekend, hold it through Anaheim 2, and now going on to, it's three rounds that he will have that red plate on. And I think that's really good for his confidence. I think that's really good for the team. AP said, it's like, you know, it doesn't feel any different. My job, you know, I think he felt like there was going to be a lot of pressure released. Well, I hate to tell you, AP, it's just because you got that first win, you almost have more pressure. When I heard him say that, I was like, now you're kind of expected to be that guy, right? You're expected to be the guy on the podium and be in that position and put yourself in that position. But now he's finally knocked that off off of his list that first win. So I think these rides will come more natural for him. I don't think he'll have to try as hard. I mean, he's still going to try super hard, right? But it's like that that first win is now gone. It's out of his head.
Right. Another guy that I want to throw in there too that I thought was I don't know that he was the most impressive, but certainly on the same lines as Jason and AP is Eli. And the reason that I say that, I feel like especially that last race, this dude looked like imagine if this was last year, you know, like midway through the season, that third race, it looked like that. Like he was back to not only championship form, but race winning form. Like it was the old Eli, like he's riding with confidence. He had the speed, he had the aggression, could do things, could go anywhere. And he just looked like he wasn't hesitant to me. So in my mind, like I said, parallel with what you said about JA and AP, I feel like he was the third standout for the weekend. So, yep. I mean, yeah.
I agree. I listened to the press conference. He had said also, you know, I watched last night after getting back late from riding, and he's like, man, after the first two motos, he's like, I just had to figure something out. Like, it felt like I was riding around. Is this going to be the new me? You know,
am I a fifth or seventh place guy? Yeah.
You know, and we have some, I think we have some soundbite of the presser.
It was nice. I was pretty frustrated after those first two. I was like, okay, here, I'm just, you know, just what am I now? Fifth, seventh place guy right now. I don't know. I just had to go do something. I like just had to get off the gate there. So when you have those two mud races in a row, it's just a huge unknown. So for me personally, this was like round two for me just because I failed so terribly at Anaheim 1. So it was a huge question mark for myself coming into today. So it was important, you know, for us to perform. Since A1, yeah, there were bike changes. it's basically just going back to something I knew. So that was it for the motorcycle. And yeah, but with that being said, it's tough for your first race back after having that time off. So to be honest, it was probably a combination of both there.
Yeah, I mean, look, he mentioned something going back to something he knew on the motorcycle. So it wasn't, you know, obviously they made some changes, a direction change or a setting change. And he went back to something that he was very, very familiar with. And it showed, man, to your point, Ricky, he needed that. He needed that confidence. He felt like we knew he kind of had the speed. We just didn't know what was happening, what was going on. But look, he got put himself in a great position, pulled the whole shot, and that's all it took. Now I think you have your Eli back on form.
I think another key thing there in that presser in his comments, RV, is how he talked about that race felt like only the second race, you know, because the other two, San Diego, San Fran, mutters, it's really hard to get a gauge. So if you take those out, man, that was a massive improvement on dry, real race conditions compared to the opening round at Anaheim. So it's going to be dude, it's going to be interesting. I think if he gets his starts sorted out, I was texting Wygant, just going over some stuff for this weekend coming up in Detroit. I'm like, I'd like to see what Eli could do with a top three start this weekend in the main event based on how well he rode in that third race, dude. I think he might be back to the form that he was at before he was injured last year. Would you think?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, watching him ride super consistent, really fast, like I said, got that rhythm section down. They were, Eli and Anderson were the only two doing that. That was a big rhythm section, you know, it was a 3-3-4 single. He's looking on form. And I think that's what it took. It needed that one moto, just, you know, one ride, one main event. It was the last of the Triple Crown, and he was able to stand on top of the podium there and, you know, insert himself in this championship. We all knew he could do it, but, you know, coming off of that injury, like he had said, the Anaheim 1, it's a lot of hype around that. He was probably feeling himself out. And then we went into two mud races, so it's good to see him back on top.
Right. Yep. No doubt. Switching gears before we get into the Boxo breakdown section, which is awesome. It's a massive talking point that I'm looking forward to. I think all you guys will love to hear RV's insight on this. Check out BoxoUSA.com. They got all kinds of stuff. We talk about it every week. Lifetime guarantee. They have really cool like adventure bags. If you have an adventure sport bike, it's a small little compact one. We use them on our adventure rides. There's my signature moto box. Comes fully loaded. I think nice. You guys would really be, yeah, pretty impressed with that. We also have it in a five drawer as well. The five drawer comes with extra drawers, so that's nice that you can fill it up with whatever you want. But there's the roll bag there. So some visuals for you guys. We appreciate you guys, Boxo. So for the Boxo breakdown, Jason Anderson killed it this week. As you said, he was one of your standouts. I think he's gonna be good all season long. And I'm a Jason Anderson fan. I love what he brings. I love his aggression. I love his passion. And I love where he's at now that he's the veteran of the class. I just love his approach. He loses a position. We have some B-roll here, but this is the first lap of the third race. He gets kind of banged around. Yeah, he runs into Barcia. And he's going to go around the whoops. He gets back going. You can see right there. He goes pretty quick right there early on, right? I don't know that he was wide open. Like, do you think he was wide open? Or?
He's not wide open, but there's Roos coming up the tire. Definitely his miles per hour was too fast for off the track. If we replay that one more time, there is an area on the track right after the first or second two tough blocks where
Aaron, slow it down right here when he gets back going. This is the problem child right here. There. You see that gap?
Yeah, he could have got on the track right there. Or the other option would have been is to actually more of idle down the side of the whoops. I think that would have been questionable if he would have idled, because you have a huge gap right there that we just saw. He can get back on the track, and then he would have to kind of jump through the whoops. Or I think if you would have idled down through the side, somebody may have not caught this, what had happened, if he would have kind of adjusted his goggles, adjusted his helmet, whatever it was while he was kind of going off of the track and riding next to the side of the whoops. But because he was on gas, you could see the roost coming off the tire. That's where the penalty was. That's where he was in the wrong. It's a bummer, but, it's something we have to do, because if we get those guys all the time kind of getting off the track like that, because it's going to happen, they catch a rut wrong, they're going to pogo off to the side, maybe jump over off to the side of the track. You want those our competitors to get on the track as soon as possible and not gain any advantage in any way. So that's what I say. That's what I think. That's what I see.
Okay. St. Reitz or S. Reitz 7-11. Asks, do you think the AMA has something against El Hombre? What do you think, dude?
No, man, I don't think that they have anything either. Against Anderson. Look, we do know that Justin, Justin's always kind of under the scope of AMA. Anderson's always under the scope of to some degree with AMA. So being that it was lap one, we're kind of right there, and he was the last guy coming up once he picked the bike up. It was very visible. The team manager's tower looks straight at that part of the track on that one side. So now they have nothing against him. It was a good call. His speed was too high.
Right. S. Reitz, 7-11. Yeah, thanks. I agree with RV on this one. Nah, they're not picking on him. But I will say this, not only like on the situation that happened this past weekend in Anaheim, but in general, it's clear that AMA is cracking down on the off track, or if you go off track, they're cracking down on the penalties. So I think as a rider, and I'm sure I can speak for you on this behalf or on this subject, RV. And I know that I would be this way. If you know they're cracking down, JH has always told me, never leave it in the hands of the refs. If you know the AMA is cracking down, dude, then you best be getting on the track in the quickest and safest place possible. And if you can't get back on the track, you better not go fast. And you better make it obvious in my opinion, that you're not going fast, because with AMA cracking down and as many fines or penalties as they've given to certain riders, maybe some people have opinions of they haven't given enough penalties to some riders and only to other riders. Regardless, I think especially the championship contenders, you better take notice. If you get knocked off the track or whatever you do, you better think about what's happening. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. There's too much on the line. There's too much money invested. There's too much going on to have that little mistake to do that. Especially when he picked the motorcycle up, he was dead last at that point, pretty much, or was dead last. Mm-hmm. So the half a second that he saved by ripping down the side of the track cost him a position, mm-hmm. right? So. You got to be smart in those scenarios. It's very hard to, because all we're trying to do as racers is get back on the track, get back up, get back on the motorcycle so that we can salvage as many points and positions as possible. But so that's right. Where we can get ahead of ourselves in those scenarios. Cause it's crunch time. We as racers, we're like, we got to get up. We got to get back on the bike and we got to get back in the mix.
That's right. That's the Boxo breakdown for you guys this week. Boxo, thank you guys very much. Remember, check out BoxoUSA.com. That's how we broke it down. So you guys take notice. If you go off course, AMA's cracking down. So just be aware. And before we move on from Eli, got a quick fan question from Sonora Quakes fan. Is Eli now over his mental block of his injury? I think he is after the third race. I think RV, you already touched on it. Do you think he's over it completely?
Yeah, I do. And I don't even know if I would call it a mental block. I think it was more just kind of finding himself, putting himself in a good position, not wanting to get into some critical situations, or you know. He wants to stay off the ground. He wants to make it through these first couple rounds, right, to kind of find himself. And I feel like Eli found himself in that last moto.
Next.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Segment, Dunlop due diligence. I've made a couple calls, and by the way, Dunlop, thank you very much for the partnership. Keep in touch with, we are going to keep you guys in touch with Dunlop. They're going to be doing some giveaways and, best tire in the series for sure. All the top guys are using it. And, I've got a long history with Dunlop. RV, you do as well. Just a hard working crew over there. Great crew. Can you imagine all the tires and teams that they support?
if there's any fans, if there's any one of you going to one of these Supercross races, one of the things you got to do is go and see. And I know a lot of the tires have been changed on Friday, but if you ever have the chance to go over and see the Dunlop guys work, dude, they are changing tires faster than anybody. It's NASCAR pit crew over there, and they do pretty much, I would say, 90% of the pits, from privateers all the way up to the factories, and multiple wheels for every one of these guys. And dude, those guys can knock it out. So big props to them.
Yeah, yeah. A few guys use the new Geo Max as well. The it's an AT.
I've seen that.
Did you?
Yeah, know? Yeah. I've seen that new lug pattern. I don't know much about it. I'll have to get the info from from Brian or Brock, but yeah, new lug pattern, carcass could be different, material could be different. I'm sure it's good. It'd be interesting to try it.
Right. So he, so the due diligence part is, he crashes, jet crashes. Aaron, roll that tape. Jet crashes. This is the first race, and you can see he's coming in there. His starts have been off par all season long, and it's tough in the 450 class, but looks like maybe him and Malcolm not collide, but they bump. There was contact made. We don't have a perfect view of it. I mean, we have several different views. It's just so hard to tell. You can see right there, we're watching the replay. That's just a side shot. And yeah, clearly, what do you think?
You know what it kind of looked like right there? Once we rerun it, it looks like it goes deep right here. It goes in, and he kind of loses balance a little bit because he overshot and landed in the takeoff and kind of in it pogoed him into AP's line. Right there, you can see he kind of loses a little bit. Then he's got to turn the bars really because he's going to the left, and he catches AP in the air, and then just catches a rear tire at the last second, and it throws him off the side of the track into the tough blocks. You cannot put yourself in that position with this field of riders, man. You have to be up front at minimum in the top five if you want to have yourself in the mix for wins, especially on a Triple Crown when the races are shorter. Like you said, it starts to have been a bit off. This is not where you want to be in this field of riders that far, man.
Yeah, it's so hard, and I think this is one of the struggles that he's going through is just learning. I feel like he's been knocked down, and we talked a little bit about it at the beginning. I feel like he's just caught in this tailspin, and he can't get out. And you can see right here, we're watching a video or replay of one of his starts. Just poor. He's able to sneak through the inside on this particular replay and get by. But man, just. You got to be good at the starts. Even guys like Tomac. I mean, look what Tomac did with a good start that last race. Joseph Bramlett, 24, asks, is there a way to prevent Jet's first crash with the hole shot device? Well, that's a good question. I messed up. I thought that it did look just from the view that I had. And I only had a quick view before I was able to break it down here with URV. I just briefly looked at it during the broadcast, and I thought that maybe the hole shot device had unloaded and that's why he went left, but clearly I was wrong. So,
but to your point, that does happen sometimes. It's a scary moment. When your hole shot device does not come unlocked off of the very first number one, once you get on the front brakes really hard and slow your speed down into the first turn, if that thing holds down around the first turn and you go over the jump, it's almost like you kind of grab the front brake in the air. If anybody's kind of played with that or riders, it throws the geometry and the bikes all weird. It doesn't jump normal. So, I mean, that's initially when I, watched it also, when you mentioned that, I'm like, yeah, that very well could have happened. But it's not ideal if that does happen, but that's not what happened. Got just mixed up, bad start, and ended up clipping AP.
Yeah. I talked to one of my sources as well, and they just, he was never overly comfortable, for the weekend. And of course, probably sometimes you're not going to be, comfortable when you set yourself at a disadvantage, like he did the first race and never could get that momentum going, which leads me to, the third race. Dude, for 1 second. So we got timing and scoring, RV, as you know, in the booth, and as we're calling the race, I'm like looking at the championship, not just the race overall points. And I'm like, dude, Jet right now, as it stands, with like a lap and a half, 2 laps to go, just before he crashed, he was in the points lead, and he goes down. Aaron, if we have tape from that crash of Jet, roll it. If we don't, then we don't have it. But he was playing with fire all night on that right side of the whoops. He came really, did you see that? Like a couple times, dude. It's like he was going to the right. And which was crazy because I'm sure it was faster blitzing it, but just the risk of going down, I feel like was too high. And dude,
it kind of reminded me of watching James sometimes, you know, like sweet line, super fast. I think he actually made some passes going on the right. You know, he was able to, because that turn before the whoops, guys, was actually, I was down on the floor, was much tighter than it even looked on TV. It was really tight. Also, it has the rollers in it. So to carry your momentum through that and then the momentum into the whoops is very hard. That's why you saw a lot of guys, once they kind of got broke down, they opted to go just roll up the inside and then wheel tap three, or, you know, jump the whoops, you know, and then, or decide to jump in and then blitz out. Well, Jet was going around the outside and really carrying a lot of speed up down the right side. But the problem is you're making two direction changes. You're trying to get that motorcycle turned to come into the whoops. So you're turning that thing really hard to the left without trying to lose traction. Also shifting up once, maybe twice, to get to the right gear to go across the top of the whoops. And then middle of the whoops, you got to start turning that motorcycle back to the right. And what can happen sometimes, like we all saw on the broadcast, is the motorcycle will want to start to unload to the inside as to the right, you know, towards the start straight. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. It started to unload to the inside and he couldn't save it. And number one, you know, we all, the top riders, always get told, get off the tough blocks. But we can ride on such a narrow spot, and I've done it too, and been told, get off of the tough blocks. You're going to catch them one time or another. But it's also the smoothest line, and it's somewhere where you can make up time, and you can really blitz the whoops, because not everybody can ride on a patch of dirt that's, you know, next to a tough block. That's why, right? So great, awesome move, but you also have to be, I think we have replay. Some replay of it right here. Yeah. So, you know, it just got a little off and he was too close to the bales and he had to do something with it. And it kind of let go of it or whatever the case may be.
It looked like for a second there, maybe did he dip the front? Cause it looked like he was jumping through there.
Jumping.
Like see right here, we're watching the replay. Like like I said, that's the only replay that we have. I just assumed that he was going through there because he had swapped a few times and had lost traction. His forks had rebounded
and
up a couple times.
I don't
times,
know if he maybe caught a rut wrong when he was kind of jumping, or did he come in starting to blitz and then missed one and it put him into where he caught air. And, you know, and when he landed, you could see he was really leaned over and the front forks just went down. And when you're leaned that far over, it pogoed him off into the right side. I think if he would have been more middle of the track, I don't think he would have had that issue. I think he would have been able to salvage it. I think he would have been able to save it. He would have made a mistake for sure. But as for going down, he might have been able to save it if he had more track to usable track.
Right. That is great analysis, everyone. All of our viewers, everyone tuned in on the audio portion. If you just listen to the audio podcast, what RV was explaining to you guys, it really gets there. There really is no better analysis of what he said, of why you go through the whoops and where you go through the whoops and how you go through the whoops and the difficulties of that particular whoop section. You know, when you're trying to turn, obviously the bike gets off balance. That's when the tire can slip out a little bit, or straight up, you just, you know, you get pulled to the left or to the right, depending on what direction the corner is after the whoops. And then that's when you can kind of go sideways. It's soak, or to RV's point, like you said, he is coming out of that corner and you're not perfectly lined up straight. The bike's already at an angle. You're just, you know, you're flirting with disaster. You're flirting with disaster.
Yeah, especially when you're blitzing hard pack whoops like that, are a little bit hard. There was good traction there, but you are still using more of the side of the tire. A lot of times we try to go get our bikes turned and get it straight coming in. You never want to come into a set of whoops on an angle, and because you're using the side of the tire. You want to get all of the tire to bite on each face of the whoop. Well, as you get towards the end of that set of whoops there, you got to get the bike start to lean over to turn, because it was a long sweeper, like, and then it got tight at the end coming back on the start straight. So technical, very bike setup there. If your bike's not a good turning motorcycle or doesn't have that front wheel traction or rear wheel traction, that's a very tough situation to be in.
There you go. Dunlop due diligence section of the show. Appreciate Dunlop. everyone, and keep an eye on that new Geo Max AT82. Should be good. I'm not even sure if it's out or available yet, but if it is, you're definitely going to want that. I think for the defending champ, when he came out firing that first race, I'm like, oh boy. I thought he was going to sweep or at least do better from an overall standpoint. D-P Gill 23 asks, what are the reasons you guys can come up with that would explain Chase letting Jet by? I mean,
I'm hoping we have a little replay. I'm you're going to have to, okay, right here. Let's see.
Here you go.
Yeah, we're watching the replay right here. Yeah, really interesting. Very interesting.
Here's another shot.
I must have missed this on the broadcast, buddy.
Yeah. No, we were on it. We were on it, bro.
No, I said I must have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
Dude, isn't that crazy?
A race
That's
position.
Nuts. Look at it.
Yeah.
I love the reaction, RV. You're like, what the heck? What?
Honestly, D-P Gill 23. I can't answer that with a good answer there for you.
Well, I heard from someone that he said what, like, I wrote it down right here. Said he didn't know Jet was that close. That's what I heard from a reliable source. If that's the case, if he didn't know Jet was that close, RV, what is your reaction to why he let Jet by?
I can tell you, old Roger wasn't pumped, because like even watching him right now, he's just kind of cruising. Like it's almost like he looked at Jet like not on the lead lap, and didn't want to have to deal with racing Jet. Yeah. You know, and he's like, here, take it. Like you're a lapper. That's what it kind of looks like to me. Interesting. I mean, hopefully that position that he gave away with, you know, you can win a championship by 1 point, and hopefully that doesn't come down to, you know, at the last round where we're seeing something like that, and that could have had that could have a major effect in the end. We'll go to race one. Let's talk about Chase's race one. Got it. Put himself in a great position. Rode phenomenal. But that's what the beauty of these triple crowns is, dude, you have three main events and you have to show up at all three of them ready for that dogfight. And he's still in it. I still think if I could pick one of our top guys, I think Eli has answered our questions. He's answered the call. I think we're going to see him now. He's going to be on his upward swing, and we're going to see him in great positions for the rest of the season. Now, Chase, I think Chase is still in a little rocky territory. It seems like, I know they made some bike changes. It obviously translated over in Moto 1, but he wasn't as good Moto 2 and Moto 3. He's somebody that I think we still have to keep an eye on for these upcoming rounds.
I gotta go off for a second, dude, on this. So
let's hear it.
If my sources are right, and you know, like, listen, I like Chase. Everybody, like, dude, I respect the crap out of him. Right? He always tries, never gives up, and that move was out of pocket for Chase. From everything that I've seen and know of him, like, it was certainly weird. And if it's true that he wasn't aware of how close Chase was, then number one, shame on him for not being more aware of your surroundings, right? I mean, like, dude, I mean, I feel like Jet was so close. I don't know how someone at the level of Chase Sexton did not know that Jet was that close. So I'm calling a little bit of, I'm claiming BS on this one a little bit, or that excuse. But nevertheless, at this stage in the game, especially Jet Lawrence, you do not give not him, not Eli, not Cooper, not anyone. Mm-hmm. One of the guys, championship contenders, you don't just let them by at this stage in the race, this stage in the series. Man, half of it, RV, you know, this is a lot of this is a mind game to, I believe. And mm-hmm. it, like, I tried to put myself in his position. And if like Reedy was behind me or MC was behind me, dude, unless it was lap 15 or lap 18 and I was fully pumped and my not getting on the podium was at risk or not at least salvaging a second place. And that was, I would have never let those guys by. I would have at least taken the main line and hogged up the line so he couldn't get by me. There's no way in hell that I would let him by. No, mm-hmm. no shot. Not no shot. Stu, there were times where I let him by because I knew that I couldn't beat him, you know, and I was taking my crack at if I
but
let
you
him
were
by.
You were yeah, you were hoping to put pressure on Stu to make a mistake and then
boom.
Now you're back in the lead and you get that win by putting the Bingo. reversing the roles. That wasn't Bingo. A reverse of roles. That was, no. to me, that was,
he rolled
hey,
over.
Here it is, take it, and looks over, rolls around the turn. You know, I'm sure he, Roger gave him a little bit of an earful. I can only imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, hog up.
If I'm team manager, yeah. I'm giving him an earful.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to, he could have done what, you know, like Anderson did in San Diego. Like, just take the main line. If you want to get by me, find a way by me. Don't open the door and let the guy go by you, right? So that, yeah. dude, like, to me, that is crazy. I couldn't believe it. Like I said on the broadcast, I'm like, dude, you just let the guy by. So call it what you will. If my source says, hey, he didn't realize that Jet was that close, well, work on your awareness and how close the guys are. And don't give these championships.
I mean,
guys.
I that's hard to believe that he didn't know. Number one, because you can kind of hear the guy. And if you can't hear the guy, I know a lot of guys wear earplugs now, which is something that's kind of new. I never wore earplugs. I know you never wore earplugs. I don't know if these two wear earplugs, but regardless, there is a leaderboard out on the track and 9 times out of 10, they're in a position where you can actually look off either the triple or look off the finish line or the double after the finish line, you can look over to the left. I raced a lot of races based on the leaderboard in the middle of the track, seeing right. where James was, seeing where Chad was, basing that off of the pit board and the times that you can see, you mm-hmm. can manage your race. That's how I would manage my race. I would focus on the task at hand. And then I could also, in the air, when I was taking my, you know, I always have sections on the track where you're breathing points and you're like, okay, and you can look. So I don't know how much that, that's a tough one. He should have known straight up.
Yeah, that I agree with you. Aaron Plessinger, dude, I'm looking forward to him going back to Detroit. He's got the red plate. I was talking with a producer of our show, Chris Bond, before the race started, like, man, could you imagine what a story it would be to go to Detroit and AP has the red plate. That whole AP having the red plate, he's the B guy of the team. He's beating the franchise guy. Make no mistake about it. I mean, they hired Chase to win races. Obviously, they want AP to win races, but that's going to be fun to watch. That dynamic is going to be fun to watch if AP can continue to have the great results that he's had. But I like that he's going back to Detroit with the red plate. I mean, based on what happened last year, RV, do you think it gives AP a little extra motivation or that you think that Detroit owes him one?
Yeah, I mean, I think Detroit owes him one, and I think he owes Detroit ones too. You know, I think that AP's in, like I said before, he's in a really good spot. And yeah, he's call it the second man on the roster. I truly believe at KTM, I think they're a very professional, organization and team. And I think the hard part is this, I think you're going to get even keel with what they get and how they get treated. I think AP said that on the presser too, like they treat us the same. But I think the dynamic might change with Chase. You know, like if AP can keep these races on a roll, that's going to get into Chase's head. I would think coming from, if I'm the top guy, the top dog on the team, and all of a sudden, you know, I'll use Jake Weimer, for example, and the reverses, it gets reversed. And now right. Jake is beating me more times than I'm beating him. That's going to be, that's good. That would get into more of my head than the team playing favorites. Cause I think all these teams, they want all of these riders to do good. They've invested the time, the money into producing these athletes and getting the best out of them for everybody, themselves and sponsors. So that's where I, if I see anything happening, I see it happening right there.
Yeah, it's going to be this. I'm looking forward to all that playing out. This weekend's going to be fun. But I will say that everyone tuned in today listening and or if you're watching that he's AP's been pretty outspoken. He likes the bike because the bike has been working for him so well. He was really able to just put in his laps in the off season, not have to always test the bike, which is comforting, as we all know.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Moving on, Quadlock question of the week. Boy, this is a good one. If you haven't checked out Quadlock, check out quadlockcase.com. They got everything that you need from a phone. You name it, chargers, mounts, vibration dampeners. Vibration dampener has saved my camera and its internal stabilizer or focus, internal focus mechanism they have on the camera. I lost two phones because I didn't have that stabilizer. So check out quadlockcase.com. They make a great product and they are a great partner of Title 24. So thank you for the Quadlock question of the week. It is Matt Holt. Matt Holt asks, and I love this question, do you think that the current generation of riders has it tough with social media affecting riders' mental state and being able to read comments? And do you think it affects their pre-race jitters?
Oh, man. Yes and no. That's a tough and very probably in-depth question. You know, and I think it does have an effect on certain riders. I think, if you let it have an effect on you. And what I mean by that is always going on and checking and also getting upset at these comments, right? Like, look, it was around when I was racing, but it wasn't to like it is today. And I think if you're Jason Anderson, if you're Eli Tomac, you're the veterans in this sport. I don't think it hurts you there. I think that as a veteran in the sport, they know what they need to do. They don't let that outside noise enter their game. But some of these younger guys coming into the sport, it may play a little bit of a role with some of the younger guys. But honestly, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's a tough one. I think there is something there for sure.
Well, we're also older. We didn't have social media like they do now. It's harder for us to speculate. You know, I feel like Matt on this one, I do have some thoughts about it. Before I get to my thoughts, though, Cooper Webb has some thoughts on social media, kind of to your question, Matt. Aaron, roll it.
We're in a world where there's a lot of crazy things that go around, especially online and stuff. So I'm sure Eli would say the same. It's always best to keep your head down and, you know, as much as you want to sometimes knock somebody's ass out, you just got to keep it all in.
All right, so that was good. I love Cooper's candidness. That's, I mean, all three guys on there. Those are three good guys to have in the press conference. Matt, so here's the thing. Social media in the comment sections, whether it's any form of sport, in my opinion, I think, sadly, that our sport is one of the worst for it. The negativity. And just their opinions and the lack of respect for a rider. You don't have to like them, you know, but the lack of respect, just because of the dislike blows my mind. I don't agree with it, but it is what it is. I think it affects riders, the younger riders, like RV said, for sure. Again, going back to social media in general, especially our sport, unfortunately, if there's one thing that I wish I could change, it would be that. I wish it would be more positive. I bet that the social versus the negative versus positive engagement towards riders and subjects is 65% negative and 35% positive. That's what I bet. If you did it, you did a question out of 10, I bet you have six to seven negative comments versus positive. That sucks. It shouldn't be that way. I mean, imagine, like, I mean, RV, you got two twins, I got twins, and dude, I'm trying to teach positive encouragement. You know, keep your opinions to yourself. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. Even if you don't like the person, you know, like, your opinion doesn't matter. Like, just you worry about you be the best that you can be. A lot of the people that comment have no earthly idea of what they're talking about. I think for the younger people, Matt, that we'll use Jet Lawrence, for example, because he's the one that's getting booed. He's got a long way to go, RV, until he catches me in 2002, where it was full booze. But I think younger guys, until they learn how to deal with it, like someone like Jason Anderson, Eli Tomac, Cooper Webb, where quite frankly, they don't give a damn. It's hurtful. You know, like, these kids have hearts, man. Jet Lawrence, he's a great kid, right? He's a genuine kid. And he's probably thinking, if he's like me, when people were booing me, I'm like, dude, I'm the guy you guys loved from 97 to 2001. I haven't changed anything. What, just because I ride a different motorcycle, all of a sudden you think I'm this different person and I was bought, when clearly that wasn't the case? You could go to We Went Fast, hear the whole story of why I left Cowie, went to Honda, and then Honda to Suzuki. So it is what it is.
And to the respect point, like, you know,
yeah,
I went on Gypsy Tales beginning of this week. I was a guest on Gypsy Tales, and that was one of the questions that you know, the Jason Anderson and Jet deal. Jace asked me what I thought. Sorry. And I had said, you know, I like all of that passion. I like all of that. And I think I said this on the show here too. As long as it's not spun into a negative, you know, spin it into a positive, the passion, the what's on the line in this series. And it is a tough position to be in, but you guys got to realize you need to give everybody that watches or that's a fan of this sport, and really the only ones that ride enough know how gnarly and tough this sport is. Get down. And it's a perfect example. Watching the Futures this weekend, you know, these are the best amateur kids, right? You take them to an outdoor where they're familiar with outdoors, they're familiar with even you take them to their local test tracks, Yamaha test track or KTM gas, any one of their test tracks, and you go out there like, dang, you guys are at 15, you're crushing it. But you take them out to that type of condition at Anaheim 2 with the dry, slippery on one side, the ruddy and gnarly stuff. They honestly, when I was watching practice and watching them ride, they look like juniors. Like, it's give these guys, every one of these riders, the respect. I wouldn't even swing a leg over the motorcycle today. And I was Ryan Villopoto at one time, you know, still am, but like a four-time Supercross champ. I am not going out on that track unless it's perfectly groomed. And even then, I'm not doing three, four, you know, I'm not jumping that quad in the middle of the rhythm section. In my heyday, 100% I would have. but just that quick you lose it, and that's how gnarly it is. Like, these fans, you guys, everybody should give these guys the utmost of respect, because yeah. what they do is
dude, what they risk, bro.
Hard.
What they risk. I mean, it's just like, yeah. and then like, it's, dude, it's almost, when I go to NASCAR stuff, I think, I feel like the fans respect the past drivers so much more, and even some of the younger ones. Listen, is there hate? Of course there is, but it's not as much, I don't feel like, as what we see in our sport. I just wish we could change it, you know, like, because we do have some passionate fans.
We can change it, RC. We just have to educate these guys.
Bro. That's right. That's what we're trying to do. Yeah. To your point, these guys are the best in the business. They risk it all. And, dude, imagine if one of those kids were your kids. Would you want people being negative towards them? Heck no. I'm sure you wouldn't. So, dude, Matt, that was a great, great question. You won it because of it was a great topic. It's a hot topic for sure. You know what to do. We will contact you, or you can slide into the Title 24 Instagram, DM us, and we will get you all set up with Quad Lock and get your free merchandise. I guarantee you will be pumped on it. Moving along to the 250. A wild night. United Motorsports moment of the night for sure will be the tremendous racing between RJ and Levi. UnitedMotorsports.com. Make sure you guys check them out. Look at there. Win a $50 gift card. You have to sign in. Look at, there's their facility. I've been telling y'all they have.
Place looks nice.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. That's in there. Remember, you can get Boxo in there as well. I'm sure they may have some Quad Lock case. If they don't, you can go to quadlock.com. But
you know what I'm thinking, RC? I'm thinking live Title 24 at United right there.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah. We could go to United. Yeah, just an epic spot. They do a great job, but remember, sign up, do a one-time deal. They give you 50 bucks, and you can see where you do it. You do www.unitedmotorsports.com/title24. There's the barcode to make it easier for you. So you guys watching this, boom, scan it. They are picking out a lucky winner each week to give $50 credit to anyone who signs up. So good stuff over there. But yeah, the United Motorsports moment of the night was a killer racing by Levi and RJ. Outside of Thrasher winning, Jordan Smith had a rough go. Shimoda had a rough race. But I liked what I saw from Levi. Dude, Levi looked like a freaking veteran this weekend. I mean, he never cracked one time, and I know you've put him on the hot seat several times here on Title 24 RV, and that dude answered the bell this weekend, bro.
Yes he did. And that's something my wife said, why are you so hard on Levi? And I was like, because I know how good Levi is. Right. And it seems like he's in a really good position. He's very happy with the team. I know obviously how Mitch runs, we both do know how Mitch runs his organization, his team over there. They seem like it's between everybody. It's just a very good fit. He's in a happy spot. The motorcycle's good. And that right there, Anaheim 2, those three races were, that's what I know Levi can do. I've been expected. I held him a very high standard because I know him better than I know a lot of the other riders because he's from up north. I've worked with him a small bit in the past. Kid is very talented, so it's really nice to see him really getting out of his shell and being able to ride the pace, win the races, but also not make the mistakes. Knock on wood, I'm hoping that he can keep the mistakes to a minimum, and that's what he's going to need is because RJ is arguably probably one of the fastest guys out there, but also has, you know, he makes big mistakes.
He got lucky, yeah. On the third race. I don't know if you caught it on the podium speech. He said he had a flat tire.
I heard that.
Dude, rarely do you see that these days. But yeah, he got a flat. I saw some replay though when he fell before he went down in the third race, kind of like what you were talking about, he has, you know, he's capable of laying it down. That's been his Achilles heel. He's got to fix that. He didn't have a flat tire at that moment. And anyhow, he's going to have to button that up.
For sure. So it's closed racing. I mean, it was that lights probably had some of the best, or the 250 class probably had some of the best racing all night. And I just got to pray, man, Joe, we haven't talked a lot about Joe, this far in the season so far. I know we've kind of mentioned it, man, he's got to get it together, But dude, does he ever have to get it together? I mean, we're going, I know he's got a weekend off now, but not the way you want to kind of go into your weekend off or a couple weekends off with the lull that he's been in. I'm sure he's not stoked on himself in the team not being, you know, super stoked. I love Joe, buddies with him.
Same.
I expect more out of him. I really do. He's got to put himself in better positions. He's got to stop making mistakes. He needs those starts. Yep. So it's going to be interesting to see.
There you go.
Sitting sixth right now with 30 points down. With the amount of races we have left, I don't want to say championship hunt he's out of it, but in my eyes, he's out of it, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, dude, I'll go ahead. I'll say it. He's out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm bummed for him too. I think he's great for the sport. He's a fan favorite without a doubt. Less than spectacular. I think some of it is probably in his head at this stage. The only reason I say that, because dude, he's crashing so many times. I just feel like he's in this hole and he can't get out of it. And he's just mentally beat down. So who knows, maybe this weekend break, he can kind of, for these West guys, he can kind of snap out of it, if you will. One of the other guys in the points there that has been good, unfortunately he got off to a rough start, is that's Nate Thrasher. I think he's kind of out of it. He's going to have to string some wins together, and he's going to have to hope for some bad luck or unfortunate circumstances with his competitors. But I just looking back, he's going to look back on the series and the start is what he's going to be so bummed about. Some things out of his control, but Anaheim certainly wasn't. And he's fast enough to win. Jordan Smith's hanging in there. He's doing great. Less than ideal situation. But that's our United Motorsports moment of the night. Remember, head over to unitedmotorsports.com/title24 on that initial sign in. You'll get $15, and then they'll pick out of all of everyone who signs up each week. They will give you a $50 gift card. They pick one person to give a $50 gift card each week. So that's a hell of a deal. And you saw how nice their place is. Just they're doing a lot of great things. So appreciate everything and everyone at UnitedMotorsports.com. Big weekend on NBC. We're focusing on SMX. Full focus is there. Super Motocross. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be live on big NBC. It's going to be 3 p.m. Eastern time Saturday. So make sure you check that out at Detroit. As far as regular week stuff goes, as you all know, Thursdays is SMX Insider with Jason Wygant and Jason Thomas. Saturday, again, early start for race day live, dude, 9:30 a.m. RV. You'll still be getting out of the bed.
That's going to be perfect. I'll be able to get my coffee and watch some race day live. That's perfect.
Yeah. The main event starts, the show starts at 3 o'clock, and it'll be on NBC and of course live on Peacock. And then the 450 heats will be first. So don't miss the start. The format is a little bit different starting with the premier class. So a lot to look forward to for sure. It's the 250 East debut. A lot to look forward to. You know, the shiny object, bro. Deegan. I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of shenanigans. He's hurt.
Yeah, I heard that.
He's a 250 SMX champ. I heard that he's hurt. I heard that he's riding. What do you think with all the rumor mill going on? What do you think if he races, I'm assuming he's going to, if he's coming in injured, what's the play for Hayden Deegan and how do you think he'll do?
Well, I'm going to start off with if he's racing and he's healthy, contender for the win. If not, you know, he's a strong athlete, strong racer. So he's going to be the guy to beat. I'm going to say that now probably. And if he is coming in, you know, with an injury, not where he, you know, really wants to be, I think it's getting through this first round, salvaging the points that he can. And what I mean by that, inside the top five, I think he's totally capable of that, even with a nagging injury or, you know, whatever. This is all rumors at this point, right? So I don't really know. I've heard, I just seen the other day, oh, he's in for Detroit. I'm like, oh, well, I only figured he was. I don't read in between that stuff. When I see it, I'll take it for what it is. But I think if he gets up, if he is, like I said, if he does have that nagging injury, his goal is podium, right? Stay in this for the long haul. It is a shorter race series. Just get through this first round and feel it all out, get the first race jitters out of the way and then, start moving forward. But honestly, I think the kid's going to do good.
Well, he's only going to be, you just have to assume, you know, how much you learned your rookie season. You knew how you were able to, pay that forward on the following season. You just get that much more comfortable. You know what to expect. You know how the bikes react. You know how the track reacts. He's racing the East Coast again. So
if everybody thought he was good last year when he came out, he's going to be that much better this year because he's seen these tracks before. He's rode, he knows the deal. He knows the stadiums. He's going to be that much better than he was last year. I feel.
Let me ask you this. And, it's been pretty quiet. Austin Faulkner, do you think he finally gets it done and wins a championship? He's going to have to go through Deegan, but what do you think he gets it done?
Yeah,
or do you want to see?
I want to see. I mean, I talked to Rhino at Anaheim too. And also Mitch also. And Mitch had said, he goes, I don't know if I've ever seen him ride this well. So, you know, that's not the ever seen him ride this well came from Mitch himself, not Rhino. You know, and Mitch is a hard critic. So, and we've seen, and we all know the faults in the areas where Austin has struggled in the past. It's been a long road of struggle. So I hope to see him put it together be in a position for 8 rounds. Put the championship aside. Not even think about the championship. Let's just be in the championship hunt for 8 rounds. Number one, let's start there. Let's get yourself in the position to where when it comes down to the last round, you have a shot, a real shot at winning this, not a 15-point deficit. A 3-5, put yourself where it comes down to that last round. And that should be number one goal for him, is to make it through every single main event and heat race and races, healthy, strong, competitive, and also got to win races. It's very hard to win a championship without putting yourself in the position to win races and actually win those races. But I don't know. I'm hearing a lot of good things from it.
Good. I'm excited. A whole bunch of good guys. A lot of rookies. Evan Ferry, Bennick, Reynolds, Gilliam Ferris. I think like there's so many good guys and so many veterans also that have a legit shot of winning. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I always go back to this is very similar to 450 class, as far as it's going to take a few races for us to see. The bummer part, if you're like Deegan, you're one of the veterans, you're like Deegan, or you're say Faulkner comes out and dominates. Now it sucks for him because he can't keep the momentum going, because now we go to Glendale after that, and then there's a weekend off before Detroit before they get back on, right? So it's like, oh, you have a 2-week break, but that's like a blessing. If Deegan is really hurt, so all he has to do is go out, get a podium, he gets 2 weeks, a 2-week bye, which is nice. So, but keep your eye on the rookies. Triumph's debut.
Yeah, I got a question for you. How do you Triumph's debut? What are you expecting? What are you looking for from obviously brand new team, brand new everything? They're coming out on the big stage. What's your expectations?
If I'm a team manager standpoint, I'm like, all right, Evan, just go out there, log the laps. What you can't do is hurt yourself. Don't try to be someone that you're not, dude. If all you have is 15th, all you got's 15th. Get it. 15th is better than trying to go out and get 10th or trying to go faster than what you're capable of, or you're not comfortable and then hurting yourself, then you don't get the experience. So I'm going in there and just with zero expectations and just do your best and make every lap. As far as Jalik Swole goes, he's been in it for a while. He's had some injuries, but you don't need to go set the world on fire. If you're capable of podium, get the podium. You know, if top fives, I mean, he's plenty capable of top five, get your top five, just be there, you know, just ride to the best of your abilities. Don't try to overachieve. As far as the team goes and how that looks, I think, you know, from the engineers, the suspension guy, the engine guy, I think just getting everything set and being organized. Are they going to have some growing pains? I'm sure they are.
Right.
So that's like off the track. That's what I would try to be focused on, is being running as smoothly as possible. So it's going to be fun to see finally the bike in a race situation. Exciting times. Like I said, you got a rookie that's never done it at this level. So go out there and do the best that you can. And then you have Jalik Swole, who is capable of doing well. He's showed us that if he's got some good confidence, he could be a sleeper. So that's what I'm looking forward to in the 250 class. Hey, one thing I want to say as far as Detroit, and we can wrap it up unless you have something else, but that track is very similar, or was last year at least, to what the dirt was like this past weekend, I feel like, in Anaheim. So it'll be interesting to see, like, if Jet's going to be 100% comfortable, like, especially if he gets that hard and slippery and marbly. It's going to be interesting to see if he's comfortable. So that's what I'm looking forward to as far as Jet goes. Eli, I want to see what he can do with a start. And then, of course, Cooper Webb. Everybody. Dude, it's so good. I mean, we got four. We've only had four rounds. We got four winners. Eli hasn't won yet. I still feel like Kenny, you know, Kenny's good, right? Kenny's good.
I think he gets a win this year. I think he gets a win like he did last year. You know, I got to see Corey from Dirtworks. They were on the excavators a day or two ago. Uncovering the dirt and getting the dirt put in the trucks to bring in the stadium. You know, obviously we know the weather back east. It's a little sloppy on top, but once they opened it up, so I presume it's, to your point, it's going to be a stadium inside. They're going to get the heat on. It's going to get dry in some spots, but it also could be soft and ruddy in others. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and especially because they can't put any, I don't believe that lime is the thing they can't do anymore, right? They don't put the lime in the dirt anymore. So, you know, that was when they bring this dirt from outside where is freezing cold or the rain, and they bring it into a stadium that is heated, it all tends to melt, right? And, you know, ice melts when it gets warm, and then all of a sudden you got these pumpy spots on the track that are very soft and ruddy and very, very, very technical. So it's going to, like, to your point, interesting to see who's going to be the standout now once we've headed east.
That's right. All right, dude. That was a good one. Man, that was a long one. Good one for you guys. All our viewers and listeners, again, thanks for the patience. We love doing the pod, but we have other work as well, and doctor's appointments, our kid duties, whatever. We definitely this isn't our only thing. You won't be there this week, RV. I will be there, but we'll be sending you some notes. I know you'll be tuned in to the broadcast on NBC. Or Peacock on watching on race day also. So all of our sponsors. We appreciate you guys. United Motorsports, Quad Lock, Foxo, and Dunlop. We appreciate you guys. You're the best. Thanks for enjoying the ride. All of our fans and listeners, remember, if you can't watch us, listen to us. We're on all the podcast platforms. So you can go down there and listen to us, do the download. If you want to watch, remember, it's on demand on Peacock, as always. And then, of course, on the Motorsports, on NBC Sports YouTube page. So make sure you can check us out there as well. We appreciate all you guys, and we will see you next Monday for the Detroit Download.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.